46, Portland Shuzhou Sister City Association report.
Come on up, team. Don't be shy.
While they're coming up, I will go ahead and introduce myself, Judy Parker, from the mayor's office. I work with all the sister cities, and it's a great job to have. We have 9 sister cities, and one of our oldest, our third oldest, is the Suzhou Portland sister city relationship. Thank you very much.
Is it on yet? Can you hear me? So we were able to send the mayor and a delegation of Portlanders to Suzhou, to China, this year in October. And so the purpose of this report today is to talk about not only the relationship between Portland and Suzhou, but also what happened on the trip and how this benefits Portland as a city and all of the people in the Portland area. Also on the trip, the mayor was able to go to Kunming as part of being commissioner of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. Kunming is going to be the greenest city in China with Portland's help, which is very exciting. He also traveled to Xi'an to continue the relationship with Mr. Wu Baizhu, who donated the magnificent elephant statue in the North Park blocks. He also went to Shanghai as commissioner of the Portland Development Commission to work on the relationships that the PDC has been able to build and foster. And with the mayor's help, we were able to solidify a lot of those relationships. So I want to introduce some very important people up here at the table with me. Bob Fraser is the immediate past president of the Portland Suzhou Sister City Association. Next, we have Kathy Chin, who is the incoming president of the association. Beside her is Lynn McIntyre, past president, and also she and Bob Fraser were completely instrumental in helping to put together this agenda with me and the Suzhou Foreign Affairs Office. And at the end, we've got Peyton Chapman, who is the principal of Lincoln High School. So between the four of them, we're going to be talking to you today about the trip and, as I said, the magnificent relationship that we have with Suzhou and the opportunities that we'll have.
I just want to acknowledge Peyton Chapman going above and beyond. As mayor, I dropped her son off at her house on Sunday, and she was bedridden because she has a separated, I believe, shoulder, and somehow managed a 6-hour plane ride while basically incapacitated. And so get extra credit for being here today.
I'm modeling extreme outdoorsmanship that Portlanders are known for, only this way. Hiking down a volcano in Hawaii, but I wouldn't miss this. Thank you.
Great. Welcome.
Yes, I would also like to thank Peyton. She really took the opportunity to be here. She had a choice of attending the governor's Oregon Education Investment Conference that's taking place at the same time, but she chose to be with us, and I really appreciate that. And I think you will see her presentation, why she chose to share her wonderful story from our trip with you, so you'll be hearing from her shortly. I wish to thank Mayor Hales and the City Council of Portland for empowering the 20-some volunteers of the Portland Sister City Association for enabling us to promote education, culture, and trade exchange between our two cities. I also want to thank Judy Parker for all of her wonderful assistance in allowing PSSCA and our 9 sister cities in being the best that we possibly can be. Her service has been absolutely outstanding. And we also want to appreciate the assistance of Gail Shibley and Severa Gonzalez for their support of our mission to Suzhou. In addition to Mayor Hales, and I should move these slide presentations, shouldn't I? First Lady Nancy Hales, and Director Nancy Hales, who's also Director of First Off Portland, and a total of 19 PSSCA board members, including staff Gail Shibley, and citizens representing Portland in our delegation also came with us. We all know Suzhou for its beautiful gardens, for which we have a wonderful example here in Portland, the Lanzhou Chinese Gardens, of which Jane DeMarco, director, is sitting with us. Thank you, Jane. And for its cultural attributes. But Suzhou is also an economic powerhouse in China. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to introduce you to Suzhou and its 2 industrial parks. Then we will share with you how our city, when our trip continues the bond with our friends and partners in Suzhou to enrich the lives of both cities. Built In 514 BC, Suzhou is one of China's oldest cities with 2,500 years of history. Makes me feel very young. Located on the lower reaches of the Yangtze River on the shores of the Tahu Lake in the southeast corner of the Jiangsu province. It's renowned for its classical gardens, which we know, canals, silks, opera legends, and museums. Suzhou is the third behind Beijing and Xi'an for its historical cultural significance. It's been named as one of China's top 24 historical and cultural cities and is the only one of the four tourist cities with environmental protection. Suzhou's classic gardens have been placed on the UNESCO list of World Cultural Heritage Sites, and Suzhou has also been dubbed the Venice of East because of its wonderful canals. Suzhou, however, is one of the most prosperous cities in China and is known as one of the largest industrial cities in China with a population of approximately 13 million. Suzhou, with its satellite cities of Kushan, Taishan, Changshu, and Zhangjiagang, formed the Suzhou Prefecture. It's almost like Portland, you know, with all of our communities surrounding us, including Washington County. But in China, Suzhou is in charge of all of them. The urban core of Suzhou is informally known as Old Town Suzhou. And then there's the Suzhou Singapore Industrial Park to the east of Old Town, and the Suzhou New District, also known as the Suzhou High and New Technology Development Zone, to the west. And that's the Suzhou Industrial Park is really where I want to focus on, because that's the park that we visited. The Suzhou Industrial Park, also known as SIP for short, is the largest cooperative project between the Chinese government and the Singaporean governments. Mayor Hales and Nancy Hales both offered great presentations about Portland's business opportunities. And were representatives from the and we met with representatives from the Suzhou Industrial Park's Administrative Committee for that presentation. The SIP has attracted more than 400,000 foreign invested enterprises, including 84 Fortune 500 companies. SIP contributes about 50% of Suzhou's GDP and a sustainable annual economic growth of 30%. At this SIP, there have been rapid clustering of tech companies, automobile production assembly, and aviation and aeronautic products, biotechnology, pharmaceuticals, computer software, food and beverage processing, instrument industrial equipment production, medical equipment and supplies, telecommunications equipment, and swift emergency of software outsourcing and nanotech industries. But the SIP emphasizes, it's not just an industrial park, it emphasizes human-oriented philosophy and highlights economic development, technological progress, and the harmony between man and nature. The SIP Jin Lake area has become an important place for consumption, social interaction, and recreation. The SIP provides for comfortable living environment, concentrated commercial facilities, abundant restaurants, plentiful recreation activities, quality education, and excellent medical services. It almost sounds like Portland, downtown Portland in a way. You can see the synergies between the two cities. It also has the new Suzhou Children's Hospital, which is being built in the SIP. Our OHSU Dornbecker's Children's Hospital has an exchange program with the Suzhou Children's Hospital. As a matter of fact, we met and ran into in the restaurant of the Pacific Hotel the director, Duong Fong, who was there meeting with them. So the SIP has become a most livable region for innovation and residents. Most importantly, education is the very important integral component of the SIP. Within the SIP, there is the Suzhou Dushou Lake High Educational Town, one of the government's key projects. It has a total area of 25 square kilometers and around 400,000 people, 100 of which are students. Its goal is to offer good education, advanced technology, and a pleasant living environment. The area is home to many universities, undergraduates, as well as graduate schools, including local Chinese universities, and universities from other countries. The community is known for producing educated and creative individuals. The Suzhou New District, which we didn't visit, but I thought I would just throw in because it's important too in terms of the economy in Suzhou, was approved to be the national level high-tech industry zone. By the end of 2007, foreign investment companies had a registered capital growth worth of $13. The SND hosts more than 1,500 foreign countries, some 40 Fortune 500 companies. U.S.-based companies include DuPont, Mobile, Pharmacia, Eli Lilly, Warner Lambert, and the list goes on and on. Now, most importantly and most interesting is the synergies between the two cities lie in their appreciation of preserving the past while planning and building for the future. Like unlike other cities in Suzhou where they tear everything down and just build new, Suzhou wants to distinguish itself in restoring its old district, but also developing a world-renowned new city as well. And both of the cities complement each other quite nicely. The Port of Taishan, which is one of their outlying cities, makes them an important port city. Both cities are transitioning, like us, to low-carbon, high-tech cities, and education is a top priority. Their culture embraces culinary arts as well as the visual and performing arts, like us, with well-established art museums. They are improving and building and expanding their transportation systems. They've now got east and west, north and south, and they're continuing to develop that program. Their air and water quality issues are very much high on their concerns, and this is an area certainly where we can help them with our climate action plan that we developed a number of years ago, which Mayor Adams introduced to him about 2 years ago. And not too long ago, in 2007, you remember the theme of the World Expo in Shanghai was Better City, Better Life, which the city of Suzhou really aspires to. You've seen the importance of Suzhou places in education. We're so very pleased to have Peyton Chapman here today to join us because she's going to share some of her thoughts with you as it relates to her city and some of the vision that she has for Portland.
Good afternoon. First of all, I just want to say that it was a pleasure traveling with Mayor Hales and Mrs. Mayor Hales, as the Chinese referred to Nancy Hales. They both were inspiring and impressive, and they charmed our Chinese host, so that was wonderful. But I'm here to make the case for schools as economic drivers and schools as physical and cultural examples of Portland's commitment to sustainability, creativity, and internationally benchmarked urban innovation and education. So, you know, you hear a lot in the public school discourse about it's for the kids. You know, that can be used in lots of ways. But for right now, I just want to give you permission to completely remove that rhetoric because this is not about the kids. You know, Chinese love their children. We love our children. Their commitment to education is not about the kids. It's about the preservation and investment in their economy, in their culture, and in their traditions. And that's the way I think we have to start shifting our thinking. So education is China's number one priority. Everyone you meet there will tell you that. And, you know, for now, I think it's important, but Portland's number one priority is about economic development, or certainly our trip was focused on economic development. So we do have some real assets in Portland and some opportunities. We have been connecting. We have current partners in China and have been conducting education exchanges. And I'll just use Lincoln as an example, but there are many others. Lincoln, it went over in 2008. I went with Mayor Potter and the mayoral delegation to set up a sister city high school agreement with Suzhou SIP. And you really can't imagine what this publicly funded, government run and supported school is, because it's an urban public boarding school for Chinese students. And of course they test into it at the end of eighth grade. And it's in the middle of an industrial park that was planned around the school. So the school was built first because they said, that's our talent pipeline, that's our future, this is our top priority. And then the Fortune 500 companies developed, there's retail, there's housing, all on a campus. And they had the ability with some land, like Nike's done out on their campus, to grow, you know, with some acreage. you know, we're in an urban center. We have to think more vertically the way New York and others have done. But anyway, so back in 2009, we hosted the first of the Suzhou SIP students on our campus. We've hosted them in 2011, 2013. Teachers have traveled, principals, they've observed our classrooms. And we have sent students to stay with families in Suzhou, but in Jiangsu province, because Suzhou SIP, our sister school, is a boarding school. So you have to think, you know, they don't have place to host our kids with families. So we actually have a sister relationship with two schools. Many other schools in PPS, like Cleveland High School, Jackson Middle School, host and receive families and have this fairly long-term partnership and relationship. In 2011, PSU vastly expanded the Confucius Institute program, and they partnered with Hanban, and they've placed 20, 30 per year student teachers, visiting Chinese teachers across Portland, which has built some strong relationships and also brought Chinese teaching practices, and then they're able to learn U.S. teaching practices. And recently, right before our trip, Portland State University, that I'm thinking of as the next University of Washington, so you have to think next UW, is going to guarantee spots at the undergraduate level for visiting Chinese students. So what does Portland have to offer that's unique? We have teaching methods that support student inquiry, creativity, application of learning. That's IB, the focus. We have a commitment to global education, multiple languages. 7 different languages are taught in the city of Portland. 6 are taught at Lincoln alone. We have a commitment to the arts and the A in STEAM, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. We have nationally ranked schools and universities with already established goodwill and friendship. And I can't stress the importance of that, those two things. The Chinese really care about rankings and ratings. So I, you know, had lunch recently with a head of school. We're the 9th ranked school in China. They know that. It's important that they share that. They want to know how you're ranked, not just a school like Lincoln that is internationally recognized and also nationally ranked, but also a school like Portland State University. And then the relationships. You can't build those overnight. So having 25 years of a sister city association with relationships and having traveled and now these multiple years of hosts relation between schools, really important. We also have urban sites that are developable on public transportation lines with access to internships, higher education, the ability to create and co-locate new 21st century opportunities. So again, school's really important to our current students, but it's really an economic development, long-term investment strategy and opportunity. So some of the things I just heard, a list of comments that themes started to emerge, but in China, you know, we want to learn U.S. teaching methods that help students become leaders, more articulate and independent thinkers. We wouldn't have thought of including a student on a delegation, for example. We've taken a student the last 2 mayoral delegations that I've been a part of, and the students shine. They really do have great leadership skills here. We're doing a good job with that. We build confidence in our students, and that's impressive to the Chinese. Another comment, Chinese families are demanding study abroad opportunities at top schools in the UK and US, and we currently can't meet this demand. So they want to be able to send more and more students, which creates opportunities for us. More students want to come to the US for college and university. Portland excels in the areas of sustainability and creativity. We want our future leaders to see those. The Chinese could build you a school and you could run it if you could guarantee a certain number of slots for visiting students. Another person who is distributing our craft beers from Portland said, I got my job here before the new policy of only hiring people who have Mandarin language skills. Very important that we support our Mandarin programs here in Portland. We want our students to be able to be employable here and work with people in China, also be able to go there and access job opportunities. From the Chinese perspective, Principal Chapman and student Emily are the most important cultural ambassadors. I only put that in there because they keep reinforcing how important education is to them. I think that's always a good opening conversation. The development opportunity, if everyone here can, in business, education, politics, encourage schools as economic drivers, building cultural partnerships, bringing new ideas, resources, and talent to Portland to help others learn from our strengths. I personally would love to help everyone imagine. I brought a visual. It's in the centerfold, page 4 of the Cardinal Times, which you have in front of you. Again, just one example. We're rebuilding, planning 3 schools on the east side, Roosevelt, Grant High School, and Franklin. These are our dreams for what could happen downtown. But if you shift your thinking again from a standalone school to a school as center of community, downtown, with partnerships, it really looks different for what could happen in the next 20 years. So there's a visual where you could have a co-located Portland State University graduate teaching program. You could have teachers doing demonstration lessons. You could have 5th through 12th grade. You could have a Chinese boarding school campus downtown. You could have a Nike downtown campus like the Suzhou Industrial Park. There's so many things that we could do here that would put the city of Portland on the map. This concept just hasn't happened in our country. But really thinking about moving from a standalone 1950s school to having international partners, Portland State University, Lincoln both have partnerships with Qatar Foundation International. Qatar Foundation hosts the World Innovation Summit for Education each year in Doha. Portland could host the World Education Summit next year here on, you know, or in 5 years on this these kinds of campuses that have a birth through graduate school mixed in with industry and business opportunities, housing, retail, those kinds of things. You know, we saw when we were in Suzhou, the Suzhou Daily News, and they had used their first floor space as a public art gallery and were able to print newspapers daily and have online presence. You know, why not a school, a center of community that has a public art space on the first floor and has wind turbines on the roof or urban farming opportunities? The options are endless. So all of these are economic development ideas that would also shore up the quality of education in our city for our students and our families, and also attract other businesses that can guarantee that to their employers and employees that there's a high quality of education in Portland, but more importantly, that we're really thinking holistically and synergistically about our properties, because we're a city that really is committed. We're inside an urban growth boundary. We're on public transportation lines. We have public and private partnerships that potential that are incredible. So I think my biggest takeaway, having seen this in China, a school in the center of an industrial park fully supported by the business community and by political leadership, what that's doing for their kids and how we can take some of those ideas and replicate them, but also bring in some new ideas that would really be models that people would be traveling here to see. Like we bring people for First Stop Portland to talk about sustainability, we would be bringing people here to see an urban, innovated lab school that connects with business in the community.
When we saw the commitment to education in Suzhou, and then I heard Peyton's vision of what she would like to see in Portland on a bus ride, it completely blew my mind. I just thought, this is what the thinking, the vision is just absolutely extraordinary. And education is truly the future of our city. You know, it's going to be our future leaders, our future employees. It's the future. It's our future. So thank you, Peyton. We also had an opportunity to meet with the Port of Taichung. Due to time constraints, I'm going to shorten this a little bit, but you have the complete presentation with you in the binder that we presented. The delegation was met by the Taichung acting mayor, Su Xishang, vice mayor, Liu Yan, and vice director of the Port of Taichung, Tony Yao. Incredibly large port. You would think a port when you already have a port in Shanghai, but this port really serves the province of Jiangsu and provides them with an opportunity to miss all the congestion that exists in the port of Taichung. The discussion of potential shipping of Oregon agricultural products to this region of China indicates there's a real market for Oregon product entry. This information offers economic opportunities to Oregon and Washington agribusiness interested in expanding market opportunities while identifying clean green distribution technology for in and outbound shipments. So this is an opportunity that maybe the Port of Portland can look at in terms of entry of our agricultural business to that particular province. Needless to say, food is a big import opportunity in China. The delegation was also invited to visit the Nike Distribution Center in Taishan, another satellite city of Suzhou. And we were given a tour by Kim Zhang, the Logistics Center General Manager. 2,000 square meter meeting facility is on target to be the first LEED certified accredited warehouse complex in China. The China Logistics Center aims to reduce overall energy consumption, include industry leading features such as highly effective roof energy management systems, vacuum sewage, maximized use of natural light, and the many other elements that focus on reducing water and power usage wherever possible. So the Nike Center really serves as a model for logistics centers and companies throughout China, and obviously Nike and the technology that they have to offer, much of it, I'm sure, has come from our city of Portland. Monday, October 28th, the delegation had a breakfast meeting with the Shanghai American Chamber of Commerce. And the Suzhou branch just opened an office in Singapore, so our timing to meet with them was absolutely perfect. Their new branch in Suzhou set up a breakfast meeting for us. Portland now has a friend in Jonathan Xu, manager of the Yangtze River Delta Center, located in the SIP, to assist us in developing strategic markets and the Suzhou business opportunity. So this is a wonderful opportunity for Suzhou, again, to connect with Portland and Portland to Suzhou. Heading the chamber delegation was Scott Williams, VP of Program and Services. Suzhou chamber members included William Miley, VP and GM of Alcoa China. There was Mercury there represented, Dixiel International Trading Company. And we also had an opportunity to meet with Catherine Zhao, China General Manager of SAGE, and Chamber Vice Chair, who was also in attendance. It was only a couple of weeks that she decided after that meeting to come and visit us here in Portland. And the Portland Suzhou Sister City Association helped her to develop appointments here in Portland for companies that might be interested in Portland in partnering with her. So that was just one example of immediate ROI on our trip to China, and we're looking forward to more trips like that from business people in Suzhou looking for opportunities in Portland. I would now like to introduce to you Lynn McIntyre, board member of 15 years and past president and co-chair of our delegation visit, who's going to continue to share our story with you. Lynn?
Thank you, Bob. Celebrating 25 years of deepening relationships, on a brisk morning walk through the scenic Panmun Gate Park, our Suzhou host surprised us with a visit to its new sister city park, where the Portland Sustainable Hardwoods Pavilion, given as a gift in honor of our 20th anniversary, now stands with a beautiful plaque in Chinese and English. Very heartwarming was the scene of the pavilion sheltering the beautiful Taihu stone sculpture from Suzhou, a poetic reference to the warmth of the relationship between our two cities. For those of us who worked on this project, it was exciting to see the pavilion demonstrating Portland's strong position in the sustainability green building community. Mrs. Dorothy Liu, who was present, was instrumental in helping complete delivery of the pavilion materials to Taizong Port, which were reconstructed into the modern style pavilion standing near a Venetian gondola and a boat from Konstanz, Germany, gifts from two other sister cities of Suzhou. Portland's sister cities have the vision of creating a sister city park too. And some of you know we've been working on this for a long time, and we appreciate the votes you've given in favor of that in the past. Suzhou has already succeeded, so we're going to try to equal that if we can. After our beautiful walk in the park, we had an official meeting with Mayor Zhou Naixiang. Mayor Hales and the delegation members were invited to an official meeting with Mayor Zhou. The mayors discussed the strengths of the 25-year relationship and identified areas where the two cities might focus additional efforts. It was an extremely cordial meeting attended by Vice Mayor Tan Ying, Mr. Chen Shongwei, Secretary General of the Suzhou Municipal Government, Mrs. Yu Feng, Vice Director of the Suzhou Foreign Affairs Office, Mr. Liu Wenhong of the Suzhou Daily Group, and Mr. Zhang Liu, Senior Advisor to the Suzhou Foreign Affairs Office. Following that, we had luncheon with Vice Mayor Tan Ying. Vice Mayor Tan Ying invited the delegation to join her for an official luncheon, and additional guests from Suzhou included Mr. Zhang Shuduo, president of the Suzhou Garden Development Company, and Ms. He Fengchun, director of the Suzhou Garden Design Institute, and Mrs. Shen Yue, vice section chief of the Suzhou Foreign Affairs Office. Guests were escorted to a beautiful room where the centerpiece was a remarkable natural arrangement of plants and architecture resembling a garden. Vice Mayor Tan explained the garden symbolized the garden styles of both cities, blended together in harmony and beauty. It was truly a beautiful setting for a gathering of friends. The delegation was treated to a sumptuous meal and great warmth of friendship. Introduction of Portland's Rogue Ale. May I ask you to hold this up? Mayor Tan and Mayor Hales shared a toast with all those gathered around the golden table. When they raised their glasses, they were filled with Rogue American Amber Ale from Portland, Oregon. Mayor Hales is very proud of Portland's standing as the microbrew capital of America, and he wanted to promote the local microbrew industry to our good friends in Suzhou. Guests were presented with a commemorative bottle of Rogue with artwork depicting an American working person backed by the American flag. The front side of the bottle was in English, and the other side was in Chinese characters. There was lively discussion that microbrews are entering the Chinese market. Rogue is a front runner with a distribution network already operating in Suzhou out of Shanghai. In Shanghai, there is a pub serving Widmer brewing products, and Rogue ales are offered in several establishments. Teaming up with Travel Portland, we presented each guest with a Portland bicycle chain bottle opener, highlighting Portland's love of bikes and microbrews. We were very fortunate to be able to place the product in the hands of Suzhou's highest government officials while toasting our two cities. And that's how we do it in China. In honor of the 25th anniversary, gifts were exchanged. Mayor Tan presented Mayor Hales with a framed Suzhou scene employing the artistic stitchery of fine silk that is one of Suzhou's great art forms. It developed out of Suzhou's sericulture industry in the production of the highest quality silk in all of China. Those pictures often take considerable time to produce and are highly valued. I'd like to ask Portland artist Francis Maihua Lee to please stand. Francis was commissioned by the mayor to paint four scenic Oregon locations, each in one of Oregon's four seasons, as Portland's official gift to the citizens of the city of Suzhou. Francis presented these paintings to Mayor Tan, assisted by Mayor Hales and Nancy Hales of First Stop Portland. The paintings and silk embroidery were displayed for everyone to appreciate during the gathering. Through this exchange, the artists of both cities were honored. The Suzhou Garden Development Company and the Suzhou Garden Design Institute, and if I could ask Jane and Gary to stand from Lan Su Yuan, our Chinese garden, these two companies built our garden, and they were a part of it. Portland's strong commitment to its classical Chinese garden grew from working with the president of the Suzhou Garden Design Institute Company, Development Company, and the director of the Suzhou Garden Design Institute, who are old Portland friends. Mayor Hales was one of the original signers of the contract to build Lan Su Yuan, along with President Zhang. Thank you, Mayor Hales. I worked with Director He during the 6 months of garden construction of Lan Su Yuan in 2000. Meeting with these leaders in Suzhou attests to the importance of their wealth of knowledge in maintaining Lan Su Yuan's long-term authenticity while strengthening the lines of communication, which are very important to both cities. It was a pleasure to meet with them and to be hosted by them at a festive dinner as well. The Suzhou Municipal Education Bureau, in conjunction with SkyBridge International, and we do have Vice President, if you could stand up, Mrs. Tsai Hong Yu, present here from Suzhou. based here in Portland, is responsible for bringing to Portland each year more than 300 students and teachers for educational exchange programs. The delegation received a warm welcome from Mrs. Gu Yuehua, Secretary Director of the Suzhou Municipal Education Bureau, as well as Ms. Zhao Lin, Deputy Director, and her associates. The delegation was very proud to have Lincoln High School student Emily Levine, honor student at Lincoln, as a participant in the visit. PSSCA has been instrumental in assisting with the development of sister city schools with Suzhou, including Suzhou High School, SIP campus, sister city school to Lincoln High School. Portland and Suzhou currently have 9 sister city school exchange programs, attracting as many as 100 to 150 middle and high school students from Suzhou each winter for a week-long program with their sister schools here in the city. The Suzhou Daily Group. Following Mayor Tan's luncheon, we were hosted by Editor-in-Chief of the Suzhou Daily, Mr. Zhang Jianxiong, who formally received Mayor Hales and the delegation. He spoke of the importance of the relationship, and his staff warmly received the delegation. Mr. Zhang gave us a private tour of the Daily's newsroom and the art collection that Peyton mentioned. Suzhou Media is very interested in maintaining its longtime relationship with Portland and the Oregonian newspaper. Delegation activities were heavily covered by its reporters and media outlets during our visit to Suzhou.
I have to just interject that looking at this picture of the mayor on the cover of this newspaper, a sister paper of the Oregonian, highlighting the fact that he was visiting, it's just the kind of coverage you get here, Mayor.
Oh, yeah. Just
the Oregonian front page story, reading the publisher and the editor and being hailed as a visiting dignitary.
Just proves you have to go some distance to get that kind of
thing. Well, like we keep saying, education is the key to everything. The next item is kind of an interesting one that came up during the visit, and that's about fencing students coming to Portland. While in Suzhou, we had a brief meeting with a former member of China's Olympic fencing team, who owns a fencing academy with her husband. Mrs. Ying Zhang and Mr. Sam Michael plan to bring a group of young fencers to Portland this August to study at the Oregon Fencing Alliance, where 2-time U.S. Olympic gold medalist Marielle Zagunas trains. And by the way, Marielle is planning to go to Brazil in a couple of years here. So we're looking forward to seeing a 3rd gold medal. PSSCA will seek homestay opportunities for the students. Imagine, you're thinking of visiting an American city, and its mayor warmly shakes your hand in your hometown and says, "We'll see you in Portland." It made quite an impression on the couple, and I understand they are planning to bring the fencing team, so thank you, Mayor Hales. In terms of PSSCA's mission of supporting economic, cultural, and educational opportunities, the visit to Suzhou was very successful. It was an honor to be part of the delegation celebrating 25 years of friendship between Suzhou and Portland.
One of the events that was so very close to my heart was the Trails of Blith exhibition by Portland artist Grace Lim that was specifically curated for this exhibition, both in Portland at the Portland Center for the Performing Arts in April and May, and then in Suzhou on the occasion of our 25th anniversary. And I'm not sure Grace is here, but if she's here, if she could please stand up. No, she hasn't been able to make it. Okay. Events highlighting the art communities in both cities left the delegation with deep impressions of our shared worldview. Portland artist and poet Grace Lim of the Grace Lim's TOB exhibition in the lovely water town of Tongli, graced a newly opened cultural center. The artwork and poems of the book, Trails of Blith, filled our hearts and minds as Grace was honored for her work by the Suzhou Media Group. The exhibit exalted the visual poetic impressions of the 4 seasons of Oregon and the Pacific Northwest. You actually have a copy of it. The exhibition was partially funded by the Regional Arts and Cultural Council, Commissioner Nick Fish. We thank you for your council liaison work with this wonderful organization. I hope you will pass the word on to Commissioner Nish. The delegation activities were heavily covered by the Suzhou Media Group's reporters and media outlets during the visit to Suzhou. Well, the delegation was also treated to a beautiful performance of Romeo and Juliet, performed by the Suzhou Ballet Theater Group at the Suzhou Culture and Arts Center in the Suzhou Industrial Park. Portland Suzhou Sister City Association is currently working on having the ballet troupe perform in Portland in the very near future. PSSCA also welcomes the opportunity to share with the world what makes us unique and competitive as a city on the global stage. PSSCA in Portland in the fall of 2012 was awarded the Friendship City for Communications and Cooperation with China at the China International Friendship Cities Association Conference in Chengdu, China. The Suzhou Foreign Affairs Office very generously hosted our stay in Chengdu for that presentation. The Economic Development Award, which was just presented to Portland and the Portland Suzhou Sister Association and the Suzhou Foreign Affairs Office at the U.S.-China Conference, sponsored by Sister Cities International, March 26 to 28 in 2014 in Washington, D.C. Mary Kane, President and CEO of Sister Cities International, shared in her congratulatory letter that this award is a tribute to the work, contribution, and dedication of your volunteers and community to help foster cooperation, understanding between the United States and China. I would like to now introduce Kathy Chin, former president of the Northwest China Council and our newly elected president, who will share our strategic plan for the upcoming future. Kathy?
Thank you. Well, thank you for the opportunity to present the vision and goals for the Portland Suzhou Sister City Association for 2014 and beyond. First, I would like to say our relationship with the city of Suzhou is strong and has been growing stronger over the past 25 years. There's much to look forward to for the next 25. Back in December last year, PSSCA held a strategic planning meeting to review our progress and to identify goals for the future. While we are still finalizing this plan, and it's still a living document, and we are still consulting different parties, I would be happy to highlight some of our goals for 2014. Our strategic plan calls for us to focus more resources and grow the business aspect of our mission. Our short-term goal for the business focus is to lay the groundwork to develop new friendships and relations between the business people of Portland and Suzhou. Our long-term goal is to grow these new relations and friendships into solid business opportunities and cooperations. In order to achieve our short-term objective, we'll create a theme called the Suzhou Week in Portland and plan to invite as many citizens, especially business people from Suzhou, to come to Portland, preferably. Actually, it's going to be in early August 2014 to share their culture, arts, and interests with us and to learn about all that about our beautiful city and they have to offer for their enjoyment. The objective is to create many opportunities for the cities, for the citizens from both cities to have fun together and to build long-term friendship that may eventually turn into cooperative business or professional relationships. The vision we have for Suzhou Week in Portland will have a one-week period in August, incorporating our already successful annual fundraising gala, The Evening Under the Stars. We'll add to the festivity a one day of high-quality talks about Suzhou art exhibits performance by local and Suzhou scholars, actors, and performers. We also will develop a 3 to 5 day block of time to hold something called a golf tour, specifically targeted to the Suzhou business professionals, for them to come and tour Portland and Oregon together with our own Portland business professional for golf, sightseeing, shopping, and to provide opportunity for them to get to know each other to allow for business exchanges. Our long-term goal after the successful implementation of the Suzhou Week in Portland is to follow with the annual golf tournament for friendly teams from both cities to complete and to have fun together. We also plan to organize something called a Portland Week in Suzhou to showcase all that Portland has to offer to the citizens of Suzhou and to further cement our cultural, educational, and business exchanges and cooperations. We are mindful of our organization that is an all-volunteer organization with limited resources, and thus we look for and welcome support and assistance from many partners from both sides of the Pacific. Foremost is the support from both our city governments. In Portland, we very much appreciate the support from Mayor Hales, the city commissioners, and the Director of International Affairs, Judy Parker. In Suzhou, we appreciate our support from the Suzhou mayor, his staff, and the Foreign Affairs Office. There are also many Portland and Suzhou area partners that we would like to be able to work with to bring about economic success for both sides. Now, Bob has already highlighted many associations that work with us that we can count on in Suzhou. In Portland, I would like to especially thank the Lanzhou Chinese Garden, Lanzhou Yuan in Chinese, represented by the executive director and Gary Wilson here, the director of events or programs, for the use of the garden as a base of Evening Under the Star Gala every year. Jen and we continue to discuss the many ways we can work together to further strengthen the Portland-Suzhou relationships for the good of both cities. We would also be honored to work with the many Portland organizations, such as the Portland Development Commission, Travel Portland, Business Oregon, Travel Oregon, Portland Schools and Colleges, Study Oregon, the Port of Portland, and the Greater Portlanding, et cetera, and the many Chinese organizations in our area to achieve both our short-term and long-term goals. In summary, the future of our sister city relationship with Suzhou is very bright. PSSCA is committed to working hard to continue our mission of strengthening our excellent relations with the city of Suzhou. We're also committed to supporting our efforts of the city of Portland to bring about better economic futures for all of us. This includes better education for all of us, because I'm a product of the Chinese education system. I firmly believe in education. So thank you very much.
Great, thank you. Thank you all. Questions for this great panel?
Actually, Peyton, I wanted to ask you, what sense did you get of what teacher recruitment and training is like in China when you read articles about the difference between the United States and other countries that score high on international comparisons? One of the things you see, like when you read about Finland, is that teaching is really sort of a high-status profession, and it's hard to get into schools of education. What sense did you get about how that is in China?
Really good question, because you know, Finland does have teachers' unions and China doesn't, and there's so many differences, but it is highly respected role. So while they don't get paid a lot, it's not that they're paid so much, but they're highly respected. So they are top students in their undergraduate programs the way they are in Finland too, because also that brings honor to their families and respect. So they are able to hire some of the top talent internationally as well, and they are really committed to every single student learning English by first grade. And this is one of the places where I really saw a commitment to what I would refer to as equity, where I really think they view it in terms of economic development. But it doesn't matter if you're in a rural one-room school and the children are going to be laborers, they have to start speaking English by first grade. And so that contrast, you know, where we're really struggling with, well, do we add more Spanish immersion or do we add more Mandarin programs? We're denying kids access. Really, we need to start replicating that. But then with the teachers, too, while they are top students, they also are extremely professionalized. So when they had a day canceled for a flood, they just said to their teachers and their kids, you know, come on Saturday. We're just going to make up the time this Saturday. Because it makes sense. We missed the time on Wednesday, we'll make it up Saturday. Whereas we will maybe tack on a day at the end of the year after the state testing, the IB, the AP, because that's what's in our teacher's contract. We can't ask them to come on a Saturday, for example. So I mean that the whole system is so different. But one of the things I love about the exchanges is our students can see how hard those students work for those opportunities. That they are there from 6:30 in the morning, they start with jogging with their principal because they are really committed to healthy living and mind-body-spirit philosophy, and they don't leave until 6:30 in a normal school, and the boarding school, they're there, you know, all week long. So what they feed the kids is incredibly healthy. It's rice and steamed chicken and vegetables, and they cook all the food there. I mean, so much about what they're doing is right, But what they really need from us is if you ask a Chinese student a question, they will give you the exact answer they think you want to hear. And, you know, Emily on the spot could stand up and give a toast to their education officials, having not thought about it before. And it was great weaving in examples from her trip and her schooling here and apply, you know, her language. And so they need to learn from us, and we really need to learn from them. And this idea of streamlining teacher education here in the United States, where we could have our teachers, for example, co-located with Portland State University's Graduate School of Education, the professors could give demonstration lessons, our PD could be aligned. When we talk about Common Core, you don't become a teacher and go off to academia and talk about what happens in schools with kids. You would be right there in a school with all of the adults working together. And if you had visiting teachers from Australia and China and Doha engaged in this activity, we could take the best of the best practices and really streamline and articulate and create a talent pipeline that I think would organically shift the quality of our programs and educators and our ability to hire, instead of, you know, having to kill the union to do it. You know, I think we have some good structures in place that supports teaching, but through education and innovation of sharing of best practices would be a better way to reform our ways. It's a good question, though. Thank you.
Great question. Yeah, just the other thing I think it's always profound in any visit to China is just see the seriousness of purpose, you know, that they are translating general goals into big investments. The Suzhou Industrial Park has subway stops that are open and or are completed before the first buildings are built. Contrast that with how we get around to transportation projects. They build subways on spec. you see what 10% of GDP going into infrastructure actually means on the ground. Not frankly, I don't agree with all the infrastructure investments that China is making, but can't disagree with their capacity to turn the general purpose into specific plans and turn it into real things. So it's pretty impressive on education. Same thing, the facilities are really excellent.
And when the business people say we need more engineers, they're directly linked to the school and the vision of the school in a positive way, not in a marketing way. Like, we don't want to sell more Coca-Cola to the kids. No, we want to have more pre-engineering opportunities there.
Actually, I just remembered I think there was an article in The Atlantic recently about another big difference between the United States and a lot of other countries in terms of education is how much time and emphasis there is on sports here. And do you see, what do you see in terms of time and emphasis on sports in Chinese schools?
I think if you're going to be everything is to be excellent. So if you are going to be on the national basketball team in China, that's going to take a top priority. And you'll be in a different track. Here we have scholar athletes where you need to be a full IB student and be the quarterback, and that's how you get into Yale. So we don't track our students into those, but if you are a serious athlete there, it becomes very competitive and takes over your life, but it doesn't take over everybody's life. But everybody has to have daily exercise because that improves your mind. There's very little child obesity. There few health issues that get in learning ways. And, when we talk here about the Healthy Fit Active Initiative in partnership with, you know, the city and Nike, there's so many ways to connect the dots and so much opportunity right now between Portland Parks and Rec and educators and the business community to really, with the City 2025 plan and then the initiatives at the state level about streamlining, you know, pre-K through graduate school and teacher effectiveness. And this is just a key time, I think, 2014, 2015, to have some of the right minds around the table, because it will impact the next 20 to 50 years.
Mayor, on your trip, did you visit a classical Chinese garden?
We did. Yeah, we did. Several of them in Suzhou, of course. So we can't miss them. They're great.
So now we take for granted that we're home to perhaps the greatest Japanese garden and classical Chinese garden in North America. How do we stack up with our counterparts in China?
Well, they're very proud of Lansoo Garden, of course, because the Suzhou Garden Bureau designed it for us, and we were faithful to the principles behind those gardens that were our model. So they, you know, it's a pretty big deal. And my impression is it's a pretty big deal in Suzhou that we have this garden here. I don't know if these folks have more depth on that issue than I do.
Yeah, whenever we bring delegates from Suzhou and they see our garden, even the ones that were here 10 or 13 years ago are like, wow, it's absolutely so beautiful. They're very well impressed. I mean, and if you go to one of our gardens and then you go to Suzhou, it's like almost being in Suzhou when you go to our gardens.
Yeah. They use the same materials and the same techniques and everything. It's so faithful to this.
I also just want to observe that from the beautiful presentation you gave us, you seem like you do a lot of eating on this trip.
Yes, you do.
Well, that's the Chinese.
You have the
Chinese
auditor here. The auditor may raise some questions with the auditor, but there was also some official business between the eating.
Yeah,
that's a Chinese. Yeah, that's a Chinese tradition. That's where communications take place. That's where business takes place. Go to a Chinese restaurant. You hardly see a table for two. You always see a round table for ten, and that's their tradition. They gather around families, businesses, and that's where the conversations and the relationships take place. We have 25 years history with Suzhou, and I must say, many of the meals that we have are with relationships that have been established many, many years ago. It was absolutely wonderful.
Fun facts, when you think about presidential visits, so many of the great events have occurred at a banquet.
Yeah.
The toasts, a president getting ill,
all kinds of things.
So there is a great tradition.
Oh, yeah.
Mayor, I just want to ask you one question also. I was looking at the materials. And your letter had an interesting salutation. So,
which one?
Your letter concludes by saying, it is an honor to support this relationship and extend my most distinguished considerations. Now, that's not the language we normally use in this body, but is that more typical of a formal diplomatic language?
And the English translation of the proper Chinese term.
Right.
I think there's such a tradition in China, and we certainly saw it on this trip, of one, hospitality, and two, they take these relationships very seriously. And so the official exchanges are very, you know, are very formal affairs. And that's not because they're stuffy. That's because they take this very seriously. This is important. And in fact, they invest a great deal of public funds and staff time into these relationships. We rely on relatively small effort by the city and very large efforts by our associations. This one in particular has depth and strength, but we have strong sister city associations in the case of most of our sister cities, and that's why it works, because we can, with this level of effort from volunteers, be in the same league as someplace like Suzhou, which has a foreign affairs office and, you know, a serious municipal commitment to these relationships. But it's pretty unbalanced, frankly, in the level of investment by the city. But it works in this country because ever since Eisenhower, the sister city tradition has been founded in these voluntary associations here and other cities.
You'll see in so much of their documentation and hospitality letters the word friendship, 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 friendship. 2010, we were invited to attend their 30th anniversary as a sister city. They invited some 35 sister cities from all over the world to come and join and celebrate with them. And it was a friendship meeting. I mean, I could hardly see the politics involved in it. I'm sure there was politics, but friendship seems to be such a mission that they have in terms of extending their friendship with the world. They were such a close society for so many years, right? So the last few years now, they just want to get out there and expand their power,
but also,
their relationships.
Yeah.
I think they speak on behalf of all the sister city associations here in Portland, but they would love to have such trips continue with all the members of the council. You know, if you would like to go,
yeah, it would be a great idea.
Steve, if you're willing to go, I'll go. Having heard the presentation, I just thought this was a mayor's gig. But I'll just call myself the president of the council on the trip.
There you go. That'll work. Maybe during that 6 months that it rotates around, you're on duty for more. No, I went when I was a commissioner on a couple of sister city trips. It was valuable then. I did get involved in negotiating the the agreement for this, for the construction of Lanza Garden, so that was a high point. But I think it's very useful context for the work that we do. It's an important set of relationships we have around the world, and I think increasingly, and this trip was focused in large part on this, the question is now, can these relationships and greater openness in China translate into business opportunities? I think so. It doesn't happen automatically. It has to require follow-up and